listening to?
Shut the hell up. I'm listening to the Noise Cast.
What is the Noise Cast?
I said shut up.
Ow.
Hello and welcome to episode 16 of The Noise Cast, a show about technology, gadgets, industry gossip, and things of that sort. On tonight's show, we have special guest, Agrippa.
Hey, what's up?
Gonzo Ryder.
No, Donnie, these men are nihilists.
Kaiser Maghead of Doodle of Boredom.
Hey, how's it going? Good to be back.
And our website designer, Rantaraj.
Hi, everybody.
Hello and welcome. For those of you who haven't checked out our new website at thenoisecast.com, be sure to check it out. It features a little bit more than just a list of episodes for you to listen. We are now writing up blog posts about our thoughts on latest industry news and things like that. So if you need your dose of the Noisecast anytime during the week, most likely you could read an article on thenoisecast.com. Also be sure to follow us at twitter.com/noisecast. First up for tonight is the recent news of Google's ex-CEO Eric Schmidt stepping down and Larry Page taking over the reins, with Google co-founder Sergey Brin pretty much remaining at the same exact position he was since 98.
Well, I mean, expectations aside, it really isn't that big of a deal. Nothing's changing.
Yeah. Reading the article about it, Eric Schmidt's going to focus on the stuff that he has been doing all along with all his business relationships and stuff. And what's his name? Mike Page is only going to, manage day-to-day operations, which really doesn't seem like that big of a deal or that big of a change.
And well, I will. Oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
I was gonna say I do agree with. Gizmodo just wrote their little article recently where they said, it doesn't change anything. And I do agree with one thing in particular they said about, Brin being, the heart of the thing. And he seems to be further marginalized both by himself as he's taken on other interests and by the other two. And he seems to be the don't be part of the don't be evil.
One of the things that a lot of people are noticing is that Larry Page, they don't know if he's ready, if he's mature enough to take the helm, because there have been a lot of reports of him just sort of not being interested in the whole CEO part of being a CEO. So it would be interesting to see. The big question is, has Larry Page grown up yet from what he used to be when he was back in CEO back in the day?
Well, even back then, maturity aside, he was still brilliant. I mean, he still grew Google. He ran it competently. And I think, as they've said, a lot of decisions that have been made haven't been Schmidt alone. He's still been in the thick of things. So roles-wise, his responsibilities, nothing changes for him. He's still doing what he did. I think it's unfair to assume he wouldn't have matured much in 10 years. I mean, you see the same thing with Zuckerberg. If you remember, in the earlier days of Facebook, he was really just a kid. the way he acted, I mean, he seemed almost, autistic, but he was still, just a kid. And you can see his whole, the way he carries himself, the way he answers questions, all that stuff changes. The same thing with Page. It's been 10 years, and it's not like it's not like a Steve Jobs situation where he was taken out of any decisions. They're just formalizing the relationship and allowing Schmidt to concentrate entirely on what's already been taken up, too much of his attention anyway.
Yeah, so. I definitely agree with that, and I also think there's something to be said for like Zuckerberg's and Sergey and Larry, where they're too young and they don't have that sort of that business tact that people that are older tend to have. They don't, you know, they understand the business. You know, obviously, Sergey and Larry are two brilliant individuals, and Mark Zuckerberg is as well. But they don't understand how to act in the business world. They just know the things that they've created, and which are pretty phenomenal things. But at the end of the day, there's a lot more to business than just creating something and starting a business, you know?
Yeah. And remember, Bill Gates went through the same learning curve with
as did Steve Jobs.
Yeah. It's so, I mean, it's part of it is the culture of the region, and I'm not worried. These are smart guys. I can't say, well, I mean, I know there's something to be said for the strategic direction of Google. It's, you know, the intelligence of the decisions that's made, the successes and failures. I know there's all that, but assuming the actual quality of decisions don't change, the only real change is the speed with which they're made. You know, a clear opening. I mean, we already know that because he's one of them, that the engineers, that the bread and butter of Google are going to be happy with this. You know, Schmidt was already sort of, I mean, he was always kind of the other guy who possibly never quite got it the way they did.
I never trusted Eric Schmidt. I don't know why. I think it's his eyes. He's got like little.
It's because he looks like eyes.
He's got those beady little eyes, and I'm like, that man cannot be trusted. You can't even see the pupils.
You know what I think Eric Schmidt's problem was that he tried a little bit too hard to be funny. I mean, a lot of people take what he said out of context and sort of like, you know, like Gizmo did the stupidest things Eric Schmidt has ever said and stuff like that, and. I genuinely think if you were there, you could probably tell that when he was saying those things, he was trying to be funny. Because I don't think a CEO could say certain things that he said. I mean, even when he went on Jon Stewart on The Daily Show, or was it Colbert? I can't remember. I think it was Colbert, and he got grilled about saying certain things. And Eric Schmidt just looked at him. He's like, shook his head. He's like, dude, it was a joke. It wasn't meant to be serious. And I think that the things as a CEO, the things that you say have to be of the best intentions in and out of context. And I think that's what his problem was, which made people distrust him, is that he didn't really draw the line between can what I say be considered a joke out of context as well as in context.
Yeah. And he always came off as sort of the, the cool kid, you know, no, not the cool kid, but the kid trying to be one of the cool kids.
Yeah.
Trying to fit in. Like, you know, he's all right. People don't dislike him, but he's trying too hard to be. To me, the image that sticks out to me of Eric Schmidt, the thing that, I mean, it's unfair to say I'd judge him by, but, you know, is, you know, during Burning Man, he stays like off-site at a hotel and commutes in versus, you know, almost everyone else who goes and camps out in the area.
Yeah.
You know, there's something about that, the whole I'm trying to be part but I'm not integrated thing. It just, he was always sort of out of sync. But the man is, he's good at what he does, though. He knows what he's doing.
Absolutely, so, and I also think he's kind of one of those, like, he's obviously a bit of a nerdy guy. I think anyone that would run Google would have to be a little nerdy. And he's kind of just one of those guys that it's really tough to tell when he's joking. He doesn't know how to phrase a joke comedically well, that the timing is right and that you get it. You're like, oh, he's just kidding, you know? Some of the stuff he says, you're like, was that a joke or is he, like, because you don't know, you can't read him, you know?
You mean the part where he said everybody will have to change their identities and get new social security numbers in order to erase themselves from Google?
Yeah,
I thought he was being serious.
Like, you say something like that, and it's almost, it's like, A, either above your head where you're like, wait, is he serious? Is that something I'm going to have to do? Or B, he just says it in a way that you're like, I'm not sure if he's kidding or not, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, the first time I heard that, I immediately thought it was a joke, only because I was like, you know, it was like, no way.
Yeah.
Like, you know, come on. Really? So that was, so for me, it was like, I didn't know it was a joke. I just defaulted to, you know, you must be kidding.
Yeah, and no way. I think to people that understand technology and stuff, it's obvious when he's joking or not. But to a layman, it might be a little frightening when he's like, you got to change your identity. And you're like, what? Like, does Google really know that much about me? You know?
Sort of the same about the leaked Gawker chat logs that called the users peasants.
Yeah.
And the fact that, wasn't that you, Callus?
No, that was not me, but people took that seriously.
Yeah. People wanted a reason to be angry, and they tacked onto it. And yeah, Google has been getting that. You see, I've noticed a lot of this whole, you know, ooh, what happened to Google's don't be evil thing. I've noticed a lot of the things they're doing, and I really don't feel like it's like they're walking back on their don't be evil. They're making necessary, you know, decisions. It's when you get to a certain mass, there's certain decisions you have to make that are necessary. Every type of business, every type of nation does it. You know, when you have a certain amount of cash, when you have a certain amount of resources, certain number of employees, they're just, your priorities have to change, and you're stuck making the best of what you can. And here you have this organization that is, you know, cumulatively one of the top five, you know, cumulative IQs on the planet, and all they want to do is do their nerdy stuff. You know, they just want to tinker and for everyone to play with what they tinker with, and right. Instead now they have to worry about the politics and the, you know, all this, you know, they have to go hire lobbyists and they have to mess around with PR and they have to, you know, and it's, I think Google is starting to suffer from a curse that Microsoft knows all too well. At some point you get large enough and no amount of think small, think nimble is going to help you. You're going to have to make those hard decisions. I'm just waiting for the day Google has mass layoffs. People are just going to have a conniption. A lot of people forget that even Microsoft has had one other layoff, even though the most recent one, they were saying, oh, it's the first time Microsoft's in danger. And I was like, no, it's not. Yeah. They've done this before. So,
people didn't remember that.
Yeah.
It's just a part of the business life cycle. But staying on the topic of CEOs, also this week on Monday, Steve Jobs took a leave of absence for undisclosed reasons. And unlike his other leave of absences where he pretty much said, gave a concrete sentence that he will be returning, this one was left more open-ended, which led a lot of people to wonder, is he coming back? How bad is his whatever medical reason that he's taking a leave of absence for? Some people are theorizing that the tumor that he had metastasized and things of that sort. So luckily, Apple released also its quarterly earnings and stuff like that, which sort of helped its stock rebound a little bit from the news of Jobs is taking away. But COO, Chief Operating Officer Tim Cook is at the reins again, while Steve Jobs commands from afar.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, Here's how I feel about this situation. I like Cook. He's a worthy successor. He's done a good job before. I think a lot of analysts, a lot of, you know, the money men agree with that. And that whole stock drop-off was more a kind of, you know, ooh, shocking news, profit-taking. Like, it wasn't a judgment because, you know, Tim Cook already ran things for a good measure, and he did grow, you know, shares by what, 16% plus during his tenure. Succession would have to happen at some point. I mean, if you all remember with Microsoft, Bill Gates, you know, I mean, he spent, I mean, practically his last 10 years at Microsoft, he was, you know, grooming Ballmer to take over. He was, you know, removing himself. Now, you know, you do have to realize that Steve Jobs is already an anomaly, because the stuff he suffered from, like, I mean, has such a low survival rate. Like, he's already, I mean, even the people that survive, it's not for that long. He's already outdone them. He's, you know, is it conceivable that he's getting sick again? Very much so.
But does it really matter? Like, who gives a shit? Apple will go on.
And that's, exactly.
It's not like he's the only guy that works there.
Well, I mean, it's a sad story that the man might be dying, but yes, from a business standpoint, yes, that's what I'm saying. Like, Tim Cook, this is not a Jobs that, I mean, if anything we've learned, except for some of those visionary, I mean, Steve Jobs is a visionary businessman, and he has made some visionary decisions, yes. But if you look at the history of Apple, a lot of Apple's success has been, at times, in spite of Jobs, you know, everything from the types of products he wanted to what he wanted to call them. And, you know, I'm not worried about Apple financially at all. I do worry about him specifically, that, you know, he is, I mean, survival or not, he was and is living on borrowed time.
Yeah, and Apple in the 90s, its problems was not because of Steve Jobs' absence. It was because of incompetence and infighting at Apple, you know, when he was gone. Yeah, and I don't see that happening with these five people that are basically going to be the head of Apple.
Yeah,
in his you know, instead.
That's definitely like my train of thought on it, too. And it kind of bothers me when I see these articles published that say, once Jobs is gone, it's all over. Like, everything's just going to fall apart. And I'm like, yeah, you know, nobody really even knows how much Jobs has to do with each and every single thing.
Yeah.
You know, Apple's a company based around secrets. The CEO, of course, you think he's probably involved heavily in everything. But, you know, who's to say that he was like, I was the one that thought of the iPhone, or I thought of the iPad or the iPod? You know, who knows how much he has to do with all of this stuff? Or, you know, if the other people around him have more to do with it than him, you know?
Yeah.
So,
well, if Steve Jobs leaves Apple, Tim Cook is obviously going to be the replacement CEO. There's no question about that. His ability to be on the creative side of things is questioned at times, but I think, Kaiser just said a few minutes ago, that the top five people currently at Apple together will be able to keep it afloat, because you have Jonathan, is it Eves or Ives?
It's Ives.
Who gives a shit?
Johnny Ives is the guy who actually designed the iPhone, the iPad, and a whole slew of other products. So he's pretty much your building block for the design and the innovation. Phil Schiller is the marketing genius, and whenever last time Steve Jobs was out on medical leave, Schiller was the one that took over all the presentations and did all the public relations stuff and the whole marketing campaigns. So you got that already in his hands, with Cook being the one who is in charge of the day-to-day operations and the actual production line of things, the supply chains and things like that. He was able to, when he was hired, he was able to reduce Apple's inventory from 31 days to 6, I believe was a number.
Yeah.
And that is huge. A huge drop in inventory turnover for any company.
Oh, yeah.
So Apple seems to be left in very competent hands.
Yeah, I'm not really worried about them. I think they'll be fine.
And for all the times...
You'll still have a lot of these sensationalist, like, bloggers and journalists going on about, you know, will Apple survive? And, of course, it'll make people worry about their stocks and that sort of thing.
Why would you worry about your stock? It's not like they're just going to stop making money overnight because he had to go, you know, rest up in his beach house or whatever. The people are still buying Apple products because they're cool. So there's no point in worrying about your stock.
I think if knock on wood, he doesn't, but if Steve Jobs does pass away, I think there will be a surge in Apple products for people trying to get the last products of the Jobs era. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. That's a good point.
So, but for all the times we've said, fuck Steve Jobs, we've said that with not spite, but just love in our hearts.
The utmost respect.
Yes, we do respect him, and we do think he's a, well, I do. I think he's an amazing influence in the tech industry of today.
It doesn't mean I have to like him.
Yeah. Yes. But get well soon, Steve. There we go. So, any other comments on the Tim Cook, Steve Jobs story?
No.
All right.
Well, does anyone officially know that he's gay, or is that article I read just basically...
what?
Are they just making stuff up? Because that website seems to do that a lot.
Does anyone give a shit?
That was, yeah. Oh my god.
I mean, I don't, but like they said, like, oh, the new CEO is gay, and then in the article they said, well, maybe.
And what's worse really is that article. That article even went as far as there's been no confirmation. Tim Cook has said he's a lifelong bachelor, and all of a sudden that means, I guess, that you know you're gay.
You like dudes.
Yeah, it doesn't. But
hey, if you like dudes, more power to you. That's more women for me.
I mean, yeah, like I don't care either way, but I just found it odd that the article like flat out said he was and then retracted it somewhere down towards the bottom of it.
Yes, and this is an article on ValueWag. You can find that in our topic list. And what pissed me off even more was it went as far as to it assumed that he is, and then just went flat out saying, well, this could mend, this could be part of a healing process between Apple and Google because of some guy at Google. Because
they're going out? Like, what the?
No,
what
no,
kind
like,
of fucking junior high shit is that?
It's like, yeah. it's supposedly he's into Asian dudes, and this one guy at Google who's up on top is Asian, and apparently he's out in the open.
He's up on top.
So pretty much what? Google and Apple could dating, they could resolve their differences. I'm like, oh my God.
Fucking A, man. This ain't junior high. This is business in Silicon Valley, man.
Like, I feel like rolling up a newspaper and just smacking someone on the nose and saying,
yeah,
no.
I didn't want to mention the actual website it came from because I just wanted to tell, just say that they are the worst people ever because that is just stupid.
Well, we're allowed to say they're the worst people ever.
I mean, we have no affiliation with them, so I could say whatever I want, but you know, I didn't want to make any enemies.
Well,
fuck them.
No, but a lot of it may have been for page views as well. You never know. Because it usually is. Well, I don't know if you guys noticed this is not a topic list, but there was a blog post on TechCrunch. I think it was yesterday. The article title was, I believe, "This is the most awesome article ever." This is like a must-read article.
Oh, yeah, must-read.
Yeah, I didn't read it, so my life didn't change.
If you click on it, it had a link that said, "This is the must-read article ever." And you clicked on it, and it would just reload the page back to the same article.
Yeah, so, it was a recursive
exactly.
Link.
So
yeah, I fell for it.
I
feel good.
People got mad about it. Oh, they're doing this for they're doing this for page views and whatnot. And it's like, as a longtime TechCrunch reader, you know, it's one of those things. Like, it's been done like maybe two other times, and there was a statement attached to it. You know, like it was part of a, they actually posted another blog afterwards explaining the whole, you know, story as to why it was done. It was pretty much a lampoon. And, you know, there are people on Twitter who do the whole recursive tweets where, you know, it's like a link to the greatest tweet or whatever. And it's like a link right back to that very tweet. And, you know, it's just, you know, did they make any money off of it? Well, only from the dumbasses who kept constantly re-clicking. And, of course, it was one of their most common...
How do you find the dumbasses on the internet? Give them a recursive link.
It was... Did anyone ever see that thing? It's called, like, the idiot card, and it said, to see how to fool an idiot for hours, flip this card over. And then the other side said the exact same thing. That's all it is.
It's yeah. Exactly. And so to me, Internet I have no version. Sympathy when you're telling me that the page got, you know, however many hits and they made so much money off the ads from this. I'm like, the only people who kept clicking that were fucking idiots, because, you know, those extra clicks came from people clicking more than once.
And this is what it's all about, is getting page views anyway. So it worked. Yeah.
You know, I will admit, so... I clicked twice.
I clicked once,
and then it reloaded, and I was like, well, what? I was like, something must have happened. So I clicked it again, it did it again. I'm like, all right, this is bullshit, and I just left.
I would have loved to have access to their help email inbox just to see how many people would have emailed say, dude, the article is broken.
So it's borked.
I mean, just forward through the comments, you have, I mean, most of them are the, oh, this is bullshit, TechCrunch. They obviously don't respect their readers. But, you know, the stuff we're used to from Giz, you know. Anytime someone gets annoyed, it's personal and no one respects you and blah, blah, blah.
Damn but, you, Gizmodo.
So they had that going. But then there were a few people who were like, you know, what's this? What's going on? I don't understand. And it's like, well, you were the intended target. So congratulations.
Yay.
They should do those like you click on it once, you click on it like three times, then it takes the Swedish Chef JPEG and it's like bork bork.
Speaking of bork bork, the newest iPhone commercial from Verizon, the very first one, launched the other day.
Talk about dramatic.
Yes. Yeah.
Talk about melodramatic.
I had to get a box of tissue for that one.
Seriously, guys, I had no idea how long I had been waiting for the iPhone to go to Verizon until I saw that commercial. it changed everything. Dare I say it was even magical.
Oh, shut the fuck up.
What's interesting is that this was a Verizon commercial, not an Apple commercial.
Yeah, I didn't think that was, like, legal. Like, in Apple land, I thought that was, like, bad. You can't do that.
They had to alter the Constitution.
I don't know. I mean, Apple doesn't let anybody do anything for them, you know?
Well, I mean, AT&T did advertise a lot for Apple. They just go all dramatic about it.
I don't even remember seeing an AT&T ad for Apple. I've seen on their website you could buy an iPhone, but like never on TV have I seen an AT&T ad for the phone.
All the Apple ads that I've seen were regarding the iPhone. AT&T was like the afterthought at the very end with just their logo.
Yeah,
and then maybe you might see the AT&T by the signal strength bars, and that was it. That's the only time you would even mention AT&T.
Maybe it's a regional thing, because I have seen one from AT&T and it was a dull, regular, you know, like, come see what's new at AT&T and blah, 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 and don't forget the new iPhone. You know, it was like, whatever. Verizon's always, Verizon has them.
Yeah, unless it was one of those crappy Luke Wilson commercials. You know, well, if he was carrying an iPhone,
in the back with the pictures, and he threw them around.
Yeah. But I mean, Verizon has a great marketing thing, and I said this, I even said this last week. Like this whole, I don't know if I said it on the podcast. This whole thing people talking about, like, no, they're not going to do this, they're not going to do that. It's like, you can't with one breath talk about the brilliance of Apple marketing, and then with the other accuse them of complete stupidity. Android is doing what it's doing in the US, even on other carriers, because of Verizon's marketing. Of course Verizon's gonna get knee deep in there. You know, they're trying to, you know, they're it's just, to me, this was all foreseen, and I'm not even psychic.
Are you sure about that?
I've heard otherwise.
Positive.
Sound like a psychic.
I've heard the Frogger sport and gives you psychic abilities. Maybe it's just a rumor I saw in Valleywag, but I'm pretty sure it's true.
Valleywag does not lie.
Such a
One thing that I was curious about was how Apple would change their advertisements once they added, you know, Verizon and AT&T, if they would do the thing at the end, or if they'd have like a non-denominational phone in the commercial itself, you know.
Well, I mean, the phone looks the same.
Non-denominational phone. But you know what I mean? Like,
is it gonna have one of those bumper stickers on it that say coexist?
Yeah, something like some bullshit.
It's got a religious
like
symbol from everything on there.
Well, I feel like shit. The bars at the top, they would just say like Apple next to it or something like that.
It's possible they may just like leave it to the cell companies to do that for them. I mean, everyone knows what the iPhone is now, and they haven't come out with a new one yet, so.
Yeah, but they really like making their own ads. They like love their own ads. You know, yeah. They show them off everywhere. They're like, look at our ads.
Yeah, but
they have the most annoying music of all time.
Yeah, but this is like one of the only products that they make that's like dependent, like truly dependent on other companies, like a service.
Yeah, that's
like
true.
You know, yeah, like the MacBooks and stuff like that. They don't require anything. It's just a MacBook. You buy it and you use it. But a phone, you have to go through Verizon now or AT&T, so you have to deal with them.
Well, yeah. I mean, the way I see it with Apple, there really is no need to really give a damn who the carrier is. I mean, they do the whole buy a fucking iPhone, and then at the very end as an afterthought say you can find it at AT&T, Verizon. I mean, it's not like you have to – it's okay, it's not like if you go to Verizon you have to specify that, oh, no, but I don't want the AT&T iPhone. I want the Verizon one, you know?
Well, you better tell them because that won't
actually
work.
Actually, I believe the rumor was the very strong rumor that – Apple is switching to Qualcomm processors and chips. Well, not processors, just chips, which means that they will be having quite possibly dual capabilities, both CDMA and GSM, all on one chip. So there is a possibility that it doesn't matter where you buy it, you could switch over to any carrier whenever you want.
Exactly. I mean, at this point, and that's it. I mean, and to me, that looks like the end game. Just go to buy it from Apple, and you know you already pick who your carrier is and whatnot. So, I don't see the need to differentiate advertising. Just it's still, I mean, even today, I mean, we all know the iPhone's on AT&T, but honestly, like, I mean, like one of you said, it's the whole the mentioning AT&T at the end is an afterthought. Yeah, come to think of it, I never even thought about AT&T as you know the iPhone was advertised. Oh, be all gravy.
Well,
says you.
Hey, I have Move a fro it? That's apparently psychic.
Is it as psychic as anonymous video analytics technology, which can scan your face and tell you what you want to eat?
Hey, didn't I see that article on some kind of cool website today?
Indeed,
and I wrote it.
I remember thinking, whoever wrote this is a piece of shit.
Well, it's true. I am a piece of shit.
This wonderful website was called Fast Company.
Wait, not that one.
It's on thenoisecast.com, written by wonderful Gonzo Ryder. Pretty much it discusses how Kraft is experimenting with an in-store kiosk that sort of anonymously scans your face, like the technology in the Microsoft Kinect, and then sort of figures out, based on your looks, what you should eat or what you want to eat.
So I think really what happens here is if you have a fatter face, it'll just suggest more cheese.
Possible.
That makes a lot of sense, actually.
And it'll give you a free sample of Oreos.
Here's a quote.
To get
for
you
somebody
on your way.
Who looks like she might be a mom of school-age kids, it would presumably recommend Oscar Mayer wieners with a side of mac and cheese. A 20-something guy with bloodshot eyes might be directed to the Tombstone Pizza aisle.
Wow. To a doctor.
Apparently, if you're a stoner, you eat a lot of Tombstone pizzas.
This is going to open a whole new can of worms about profiling. Whether
it really
gender
will.
Profiling, age profiling, racial profiling, anything, any kind of profiling you can imagine.
it's going to be involved.
You can give it more information, and it will give you other things.
What, like if you're
trying not? I'm trying not to make racist jokes because Agrippa is here.
Hey, what about me, man?
Oh yeah, that's right.
And don't forget about the Puerto Rican.
Yeah, that's right.
As long as it does better than HP and its racist face tracking camera, where if black people stand in front of it, it has no idea anyone's there.
Well, hopefully it'll see you, but I was just going to make racist jokes about the food suggestions.
Oh.
Yeah.
Watermelon, chicken.
I know where that was going.
You know, any of those stereotypes.
I mean, it seems kind of neat, but I can see there being a lot
would
of
any
issues
of
with
it
on the PR thing? Front.
I think it's,
I'd
use it.
It
a shot. Yeah.
Well,
I
mean, can
I
choose something else?
I don't even write a list.
I hope so.
Because, you know, I mean, I'd like to just be a jackass and be like, yeah, well, just because you recommended the chicken, I'm going to go with steak.
I gather it does, what I gather it does is you put it in there, it will dispense a sample,
so you continue your trip down the aisles fueled by Oreos or Triscuits.
Yeah, man, you gotta have that shopping food keep you going.
But obviously, it's going to be allowing you to use an app or something integrated with your smartphone to help you shop around and use the actual barcode scanner and stuff like that.
Some of those things, I think it might be ahead of its time, but it's a pretty
neat
concept.
Luck to Kraft on that. I hope it's a huge success. Hopefully.
It seems cool, but, I mean, what are the chances you're actually going to see that in a store? Yeah,
not around here.
Well,
we're too podunk.
That's probably what they said a few years ago about dollar DVD rental vending machines, DVD vending machines in Walmarts. And look at Redbox. Yeah. Those things are...
Walmart is a freak of nature.
But now Redbox is everywhere.
You know, the Redbox, if you have a certain amount of days to return it, and if you don't, it becomes a dollar a day afterwards. And yeah. I think after 10 days, they don't want your thing back. They just let you keep it.
It's like a shittier Blockbuster.
Well, obviously not, because it's still in
and
business.
The releases
and
are actually
isn't.
Like 6 months old.
No, Blockbuster's still in business at some extent, right?
Yeah. Well, everyone's just got to hop on Netflix. Just let's all grow up and get ourselves some Netflix.
Well, a lot of people got pissed off when Netflix stopping trying to push everybody to go to on-demand streaming and to get away from the whole mailing DVDs thing. They jacked prices on mail DVDs while lowering prices on streaming. And I think in some areas they stopped mailing DVDs to people, which made a lot of people angry.
Well, that's fucked up.
But anyway, I digress. Well, turns out if you go to athletic events, sporting events, you may be more prone to drinking alcohol and liking it.
What?
Who would have ever guessed this?
This is a lie,
not
sir.
Me.
I don't believe this at all.
No. The University of Minnesota conducted research and a study to verify this claim that, shockingly, quote-unquote, these social psychologists found that sports fans don't like to drink during games. No, they love to drink during games.
That's great writing right there.
I challenge this conclusion. Of all the games I've been to, I haven't seen a single beer.
This is why people have trouble getting funding for their stupid research project. Why do they have to research something that everybody already know?
Yeah,
try and focus on things that might actually help.
So you can get finite numbers on it, because now they know that...
Took the words right out of my mouth.
Well, Giant Stadium figured it out. I went to a game a few weeks ago, Giants versus Eagles, which I'm a Cowboys fan, so that game was hilarious. But... That's besides the point. They, at the end of the third quarter, they stopped serving beer. So nobody can drink during the entire fourth quarter.
Yeah, they do that with at Soldier Field here in Chicago as well.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much the standard rule.
I'm pretty sure it's fairly obvious that people like to drink throughout the entire game, that they make you stop at the.
But how many people like to drink? 48%.
They actually
apparently.
Think you will sober up within the whole 15 minutes that you have left.
Yeah,
it lasts longer than 15 minutes.
I mean, it's different with baseball because baseball after the 7th inning stretch, at least here at Wrigley Field, they stop serving alcohol. So you do have a few innings that could go anywhere between, you know, half an hour to 4 hours. So there's a slight chance you might sober up. But at a football game,
yeah, I don't know. It's obvious that people like to drink. It's obviously a problem. Why do we have to research that?
Oh, just ask Gunther.
To confirm.
I wouldn't call it a problem.
We have a resident alcoholic here.
I would just say it's par for the course.
Well, there are people that make it a problem at video.
Okay, I'll give you that.
Football games or baseball games. You know, the guys that get drunk and just try and beat everybody up.
Those guys don't have a drinking problem. They have a problem with society and with themselves.
Oh, yeah, there's some bigger issues at hand there.
They have a lot of problems. Drinking is just one of them. Speaking of which, let me get over my fridge real quick.
Speaking of problems with society,
so it's the teetotaler.
Facebook has taken down one of its offensive language offerings from its site. For those who don't know, in the new Facebook, you could choose the languages you speak. You could choose English, you could choose British English, you could choose American English, you could choose, you know, some other kind of English. Some of those things, though, were offensive because they included racial slurs, and Facebook was quick to take it down, still leaving, though, all the other thousands of ridiculously stupid languages available.
But are you really surprised? It's the internet. You have people who are just like, ooh, I'm going to vote this because it's offensive. That's why you can't have nice things on the internet. You can't let a group decide what goes up.
Gonzo,
how many languages are there on Facebook? Like, what's offensive?
You will have to read the article to find out.
Yeah.
Just tell me. That's what you were here for.
Can I say it since, you know?
If you want to say it, I'd say it, but then I'd get bashed, so I'm not going to.
Yeah. No, I can't say it either because, you know, NAACP is going to be all, oh, you're a traitor to your race. And I'm going to be like, well, you know what? We're trying to give the news here.
Well,
I thought you were trying to tell me they
it's
took off like that.
N-word slang.
Gotcha. That's a language on Facebook?
Well, yeah. Well, it's not an official. Yeah. That's the thing. People enter it themselves. So for their algorithm to pick it up, a whole bunch of people had to have entered that. A whole bunch of dumbasses.
Is it really that hard for Facebook to actually make a list of choosable languages? Because they do have a list of schools that you could choose from. And cities and states, and the amount of languages in the world probably what around 2,000 that you could choose from officially recognized languages.
They wanted to give people flourishes, you know.
But this is the internet. It's the 21st century. There's places like 4chan.
Make that official language.
Look, lesson learned. All right, yes. Everyone makes a mistake.
But
sometimes they make it multiple times.
I thought you were trying to tell me they got rid of the pirate language. I was like, no, that's the one I use.
Yeah, you'll still have Jedi Knight, right?
I think
one of the religions
still safe.
Well, it is an officially recognized religion in the UK.
Yep,
we need to work on getting that here in America.
So
I'd go to the Jedi Church.
Wait, what?
The Jedi Church of Steve.
Oh, yeah.
Wait. Jedi is an actual faith somewhere?
In the UK, it is a recognized faith, yes. Because
enough
so many people
indicated it on the census.
Oh, for crying out loud.
So now it's officially recognized in the UK.
Ugh, Lucas is your god.
No, I'm pretty sure it was just a prank. Like I do seem to remember at the time some kind of organization to it. You know, to be like, yeah, let's screw it. That was back when, you know, you know, nowadays when people on the internet organize to do something, it's usually a denial of service attack. But back then it was for, you know, just fun stuff like, let's get Jedi, you know, recognized. And I believe, if memory serves me right, I may be wrong, that it may have been partly like a couple of atheist groups who were trying to, you know, just pretty much to show that this is, I mean, why don't we let all the other fantastical stuff on there, you know?
Trying
I
think to make that, it funny.
Yeah, you know. So I think that was the whole thing. And the fact that it worked, it was like, okay. And the fact that it's still there means enough people are still just, for the hell of it, putting Jedi down there. But I don't think there's anyone out there actually walking around in a robe trying to use the Force.
Hey, you'd well, be fucking according surprised,
according to the Wikipedia
man.
Article, Jedi census phenomenon, it shows that in the 2001 census, England and Wales, almost 0.8% of the population stated their religion is Jedi. And that surpassed Sikhism, Judaism, and Buddhism, making it the fourth largest reported religion in the country. They didn't stop there. They took it farther with years on end. Ending in 2006, in November, two Jedi delivered a protest letter to UN officials in recognition of International Day of Tolerance. They requested it be renamed to UN Interstellar Day of Tolerance and cited the 2001 census showing 390,000 Jedi in England and Wales.
Those guys are rad. That's wild. Want to buy them a beer.
They're just a bunch of dicks.
You know, they did their due, and they're making their points, and they'll keep making their point every year.
I can respect that.
Yeah.
But do you think they're actually serious, or are they just like, this is
no,
going to be hilarious?
None of
well,
them are.
It wasn't localized in the UK. It happened in Australia, in Canada, in New Zealand, and in Scotland.
Yeah.
Definitely organized.
I'm pretty sure when I heard about it, I think I had just I just moved to the States when, you know, it was, you know, starting to be organized and all that. Because, yeah, I remember those, and it was meant to be a bit of a lark. And, you know, it took a life of its own. You know,
Australia got a little bit pissed off and threatened legal action or a fine imposed on people for writing Jedi in the census in 2006 because they were false or misleading. But so far, nobody's been prosecuted or fined for it.
Yeah, I do seem to remember some kind of controversy with people trying to do that here, but I don't remember the details what that was about. I don't think it was allowed, or it was I don't know what the deal was. More power to them. Yeah. Or should I say more force to them?
Ooh.
Good one.
I see what you did there.
Oh, boy.
Oh. Let's move on now. I'm blushing.
Yeah. we had to let that one sink in. A group of crackers, buddy.
I wouldn't say he cracked a funny. He just cracked something.
You know what, Ron? I don't like your website anyway. There.
That's fine. You and your friend can go fuck yourselves.
Make sure he listens to that.
I'm going to make sure he listens to...
Absolutely.
That asshole. He probably doesn't even listen to the podcast. Jerk.
Tell him I think he's racist.
God.
Racist against people from New Jersey.
Well,
yeah.
Twitter is being sued by a company called VS Technologies, claiming that they actually invented the concept and patented it, a concept of a virtual community for celebrities and rich famous people. They're taking Twitter to court saying they infringed on their patent and their copyright. Whichever was put to action, they just patented it. But...
Yeah. No, I totally see the point. And actually, I have a similar lawsuit with Twitter because I invented the fail well and they stole that from me. So,
did you patent it?
I did. I called those invention hotlines and patented a fail well.
InventHelp.com.
Seems to be another issue of YAPT or YAPT. Stands for Yet Another Patent Troll.
I did not know that was an official acronym.
Nice.
For a while, a few friends of mine, when I was an undergrad, we hatched a plan of, you know, like gathering people just, you know, around the world online to find things, just regular things that are unpatented, and to, you know, to patent it just to show how freaking stupid it is, and try to, you know, just to make a point. But, you know, of course we were dumb college kids, we weren't actually going to do it. But sometimes I do think, you know what, there does need to be a movement of people just patenting the most ridiculous crap that no one would have thought to patent. And once it's granted, taking the entire world to the entire world to court just to, you know, just to show how stupid the patent system is.
I'm going to patent my sketch for the Noisecast. Any website that resembles my sketch from now on, I'm going to sue.
Do it.
My sketch is pretty accurate.
That's pretty awesome.
Except the part about the horse cocks, but
that was my favorite part.
It's pretty accurate.
I know that was Steven's favorite part.
Yes, it was. I laughed as I wrote that.
Well, he had to carry it over from his one night in Dallas.
Great, elegant. But another thing that made me laugh was the T-Mobile Sidekick is coming back. This time powered by Android.
You know, at first your segues were kind of funny, but
why won't that phone just die?
There's still segues, Rod. I'm not a comedian.
You know what, though? The Sidekick, for all the crap it gets, it was a pretty usable phone, even if the hardware was shitty. Just, there was just something about I can see why people use them all the time. It was one of the best phones for, like, texting nonstop.
Being a hipster.
Not hipster. No, it was more of like, I'm not even sure if it was mostly teeny boppers or whoever used them. Just, I seen them everywhere. I saw all kinds of people using them, so I can't really think of any specific group that I associate with the Sidekick. But, you know, look at a phone like the Moto Click. What a piece of shit this phone is. You know, Moto Blur, I hate Moto Blur for one. Motorola is good with hardware, but little things that can drive you batty. You know, the mute button on the Moto Click is like the easiest thing to just constantly activate while you're on the phone. Press it against your face, you can accidentally mute yourself all the time, and it's really quite something. I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with this phone? The interface, terrible. And so I'm like thinking to myself, why would a T-Mobile Sidekick powered by Android be any worse? Unless somehow the hardware is royally fucked up and it has some sort of really petarded Android skin on it. I don't see it being a bad phone, because Android's pretty flexible.
Yeah, I mean, for what the Sidekick, for what it was when it was around, was a cool phone, I guess. I mean, I never owned one, but everybody I knew had one. But I think nowadays, I mean, unless Android really steps it up a notch, I think a Sidekick nowadays would never fly.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, I mean, it could possibly end up being like the Kin, you know, just flying for a little while and then dropping dead. But Android phones. I mean, the Kin was sort of like an odd duck, because it was like, what, Microsoft's like Windows super light thing that had no real point to exist. And I mean, T-Mobile, as long as the price is right and the phone looks good and the software looks good, I don't see why it couldn't become at least a little popular enough to last for a while.
Yeah, no, I agree.
I still thought it was a piece of shit.
Yeah, I always hated them. I don't know. Everybody had them.
Well, I mean, they were chunky phones and didn't do much of anything except being like a, you know, aim in your pocket. Who the hell cares about aim anymore? You know, that sort of thing.
I thought that too.
I can't remember what it was called. I think it was revealed at CS, I think, or is it out right now? There's a Motorola phone that's a dumb phone, actually. It's your basic feature phone. But it doesn't say Android on it. It doesn't show anything Android off about it. But it's a very, very base build of Android with your basic features. And it doesn't tout Android at all anywhere.
So it's like an Android Razr?
It's pretty much just a dumbed-down feature phone with stripped-down Android.
Is it actually... So is it actually Android, or is it something like their P2K software?
No, it's actually Android that's just been stripped down with a custom skin on it, because the only way you can really tell that it is Android is from the bar at the very top that shows your battery status and whatnot. That's exactly the same on it. But aside from that, it looks like a regular dumb phone. I'm trying to find what it was called. I read about it last week.
That sounds fucking bizarre. That was
another interesting way they're getting around the whole whatever is involved, licensing or royalties, or I don't know what.
Why the fuck would you make a phone like that?
So yeah.
Is that the Click 2, is it?
No, it's they're not even advertising it as Android.
Huh. Well, I mean, they can't, because if it's stripped down, then a lot of things probably wouldn't work.
Right.
Why would you put Android on a phone though?
They're marketing it as a dumb phone. So,
I can't even believe people still make dumb phones.
I don't know. They have their place in the world, I think, because not everyone wants. I mean, people want more than something like a jitterbug, but people don't want all the rickety-rackety of like an iPhone or a Droid or something. So before I got my iPhone, I had a Sony Ericsson Walkman phone with W810i. And I mean, for what it was, it was a very excellent little phone. You know, it was, you know, aside from being sturdy, you know, had good software on it, good interface and everything. It was a basic phone, but it did a little bit more than like the old dumb phones I remember from like 2000 before that.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Also, don't forget too. I mean, it's one of those, you know, the whole Western bias. I mean, when you're talking about smartphones and these, you know, more advanced phones, you're talking about what a market that's something 100 million, 150 million strong out of a total cell phone market that's, you know, 1.5 plus billion. You know, there are a lot of places that simply cannot, absolutely cannot afford any of this crap. There are places where the iPhone will never ever step foot, because it's just beyond, you know, it's probably stratosphere. I mean, there are places here where, you know, $20 that you spend on crap is like an entire family's entire income for a month or more. And those are the places that, you know, companies like Nokia dominate, you know, with these cheap feature phones.
Yeah, that's a good point also. And like sometimes at our office we use a company called Sell Hire, so that way if one of the attorneys goes overseas, instead of bringing his phone and racking up a large rate, they'll rent the phone for that specific country. Like, we'll tell them the country, they'll give us some cheap Nokia or Motorola basic phone. They're not going to want to use a smartphone for that kind of thing.
I also think of, you know, the first person I thought of when I said why would anyone want a dumb phone anymore was my grandmother, who barely uses her dumb phone. So
there's always got to be a market for that.
Yeah, Gonzo, correct.
Not really.
I think I fixed it. Yeah, there will be, because there's always going to be someone who doesn't want to pay because they don't get email on their phone, they don't check that shit, they just want something that literally just makes phone calls. My dad is the prime example. Barely uses his phone, but he needs to have a phone.
There are places where they don't even make phone calls. The only purpose is, you know, text messages. And for example, there's some part like in Kenya right now, odd enough to say, probably has one of the most advanced use cases. You know, a third world country, one of the most advanced use cases for cell phones. And the cell phone serves primarily two purposes: text messages and mobile payments. That's it. It's your debit card, and use it for text messages. So even the calls and things, and the, you know, the debit card use is through, it's a text service, so it's not, you know, internet or anything like that. I mean, not everyone, you know, has this. This is like the lowest common denominator. But when you're talking about the expansion of cell phone usage, the majority of it is in places, you know, rural India, rural, you know, sub-Saharan Africa, and, you know, the rural areas of South America where, and Southeast Asia where, you know, these uses, it's more functional. With us, the phone, believe it or not, is still very much a luxury. Even those of us who get the dumb phones, it's still a luxury. In other places, there had to be a functional use case for it. And all that other stuff was unnecessary. I mean, some of these places don't even get service of that sort. So yeah, it's, I mean, and it's, I feel it's hard to argue that there will ever be a time when those dumb phones aren't necessary when we still use fax machines.
Yeah, what's up with that?
Fucking fax machines. I got a fax today at work. And I was like, I don't need this, but the guy keeps sending it to me, and it's too much trouble to tell him not to, so I'm just going to keep getting this fax.
I sigh, and I get just, I roll my eyes and get pissed off every time someone says, fax it in. Like, if I have to turn in a form, like, really, I can't scan it and email it, or, no, I have to fax it.
Can't make it that form.
Scanning anything is annoying. I just prefer to keep everything on the computer in the first place, you know?
Exactly. Scanning should fucking die.
Well,
I hate that scanning.
Depends. That depends. I mean, if you have something with a, you know, you got these old fogies who want to put their signature, who need their signature on it, and then want to scan it. That sort of
old fogies.
Problem. Well, hey, that's what I work for. You see, I work for freaking octogenarians that,
nice word.
So, yeah, wow. I don't care. They're not going to hear this anyway, so whatever. But yeah, so we have to use faxes all the time. You know, and if our T1 goes down, we can't use the excuse that our T1 was down because the people on the other end have a fax and they say, oh, well, why didn't you fax us then? So we have to use that shit all the time.
You need to go hunt those people down and just unplug their fax from the wall and never be able to figure out how to put it back in because they're still using the fax.
Well, if you can get me a ticket to China so that I can actually do that, because we deal with people all over the world. So, you know, I would, if I could, I would destroy everyone's fax machine and liberate us all from that horrible technology that we can.
You see, how I solved the signature problem was that I actually took a couple of, you know, regular sheets and, you know, wrote my signature in different sizes and scanned them. So I have clips of my signature there, and I just attach every time I get an email,
just
like, say, from
in.
School or whatever. Yeah, and they send me a document. They're like, oh, print out, sign, fax it. I just get it, paste my signature, fill it in online, and email it back. You know,
I'm
going to
hack
service.
Your computer and steal your signatures and sign you up
for real
cards and shit.
Good luck.
Hey, man, I can fucking hack the planet.
If you know how to screw up, you know, TrueCrypt, let me know. I may have a business proposition
for
you.
Hey, I'm a boss. I hack the planet.
Anyway, so what's next on the docket, boss?
The Dark Knight Rises, Batman. Anne Hathaway's going to be Catwoman. Tom Hardy's going to be Bane.
Okay, can I go on a rant about that real
quick? Do I really need to say it?
Wait, I'm just glad that they're having Bane, because Bane's supposed, you know, a good, I think he's a good villain to use for this one. I'm not sure how I feel about it.
Bane is a friggin' brilliant.
Yeah, I'm really glad that they used him. I don't even care who's playing Catwoman. I'm just glad that they have Bane.
I'm glad they used him because...
What was it, Batman Forever?
We don't
acknowledge that Bane.
Wait. And Batman Forever?
Yeah,
he was Poison Ivy's little sidekick for like two lines.
Dude, the Bane of the comics was...
That wasn't Batman Forever.
No, it was one of those Batmans.
Oh shit, we're having a nerd off.
It was one with Uma Thurman as Poison Ivy.
That was Batman and Robin.
Batman and Robin.
Yeah.
Guys, if you haven't read the write-up that Charlie Jane did about it on IO9, you should read it. And you'll see why, you know, Kaiser and I are like, Bane is the Batman villain we've been waiting for.
Well, I totally agree, as being like a Batman nerd myself, that Bane is, as long as you find a worthy character and a worthy storyline for him, I don't know if they're going to be, will they be tackling the whole Venom angle for Bane?
I'm not sure. Well, we don't know, but... This is Nolan, you know?
Yeah, but the way the way I see it, though, from what I've seen from his other from the previous Batman movies, is that he likes to keep his villains pretty, like all the characters pretty grounded. Like none of that, like he's obviously not going to be some giant juicer looking guy with what's the name of that Mexican wrestler mask type thing going on? But, you know, they're going to keep them pretty. Like, look at the Joker. The Joker looked like just like some weirdo who walked into the clean eat counter at Walmart and smeared shit on his face and wreaked havoc. But that made him appealing because it made him seem like a real psychopath. Not like all respect to Jack Nicholson's Joker, but this Joker, I just like the fact that it's something that seemed more plausible as a villain.
Yeah, true. Their powers are based in reality.
Yeah, and yeah. So with Bane, I see them playing more in the angle of him becoming the king of Gotham's underworld, much like how he became king of the prison that he was in, rather than focusing a lot on the whole Venom. I mean, it'll be sort of a thing that's sort of part of his strength, but the Bane character himself doesn't really care to fight Batman head on anyway, and you know, right, because he figures that's foolish. So
I mean, Bane is the perfect Batman. He's Batman if he was, you know, the bad guy. I mean, self-made, self-trained, you know, brought up in the harshest areas and brilliant. You know, while most of the other, you know, play checkers, Bane's playing chess. You know, it's true. Just like, I mean, seriously, I highly recommend you read Io9's read-up. And, like, Charlie Jane does a good job going through the full, like, you know, history of Bane, including how in recent years they've just kind of bitched out Bane. They've turned him into the, you know, the throwaway villain. He's become the sidekick to other villains all of a sudden.
Well,
but yeah,
with Bane being set in stone, what do you think about Tom Hardy actually playing Bane?
I like Tom Hardy. He's
I like him too.
Great Inception.
Yeah. I like him a lot too.
I was very, very skeptical about Tom Hardy, because my very first experience with Tom Hardy was with Star Trek Nemesis, where he played Shinzon.
His performance in that,
regardless of the movie script and everything like that, his performance in that was not at all appealing or pleasing. I don't know how to put it. However,
it wasn't the worst thing I've seen, but it wasn't. Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Sorry, Steven.
I did see Inception, which he did a really good job in, and I also did see the movie Bronson. If you haven't seen that movie, it's a strange but interesting flick. And I think his role that he played in Bronson, where he's like this badass fighter, sort of slash crazy guy, and all this stuff, I think that's sort of what won him over in getting the Bane role, because that's just an amazing job in that movie as Charles Bronson.
Yeah, I completely forgive his Shinzon role because of the fact that the people who actually made that Star Trek movie were incompetent assholes. Yes. Yeah, the whole movie was a piece of shit. So it didn't matter who played Shinzon. He could have been some sort of, like, you know, win every Oscar and shit like that, and that movie was still living in trash because of so many stupid things that went on in that film.
I think we can all agree on that.
Yes,
we can. So I'm excited for that. The Anne Hathaway thing. I mean, on the one hand, I have my doubts. On the other hand, I know that because they had a number of actresses in the running, typically if they have choices that they want, and I mean, this is a huge franchise, it's almost definite that they all wanted a piece of it, they would have done read-throughs, which means she would have had to have done something to impress someone.
Yeah.
She's not a bad actress. In fact, she's a good actress. My only requirement is this, and I have this one requirement of her, and that's that before they start filming, they put her through some serious gymnastics training. Not for the gymnastics moves, because, you know, Hollywood can fake that. Like, I don't, you know, she doesn't need to know how to do all that stuff. It's just, like, when you do the gymnastics training, you develop a certain kind of, you know, physique, a certain kind of musculature, a way of moving and carrying yourself. Like, if you watch gymnasts, you can see it in them, and it's just not – This was the only problem I had with what's her face in the other Batman movie, where it's like, Michelle Pfeiffer, she's bad, blah blah blah. But her body just wasn't; she didn't move correctly. And I know a lot of people didn't notice it like I did, you know. But you know, you see it in dancers and gymnasts; they have a certain way of carrying themselves, and it's recently been seriously bothering me when I see a movie and I see a character playing, you know, an actor playing or actress playing a character that should be able to do something, and their body doesn't work right. I mean,
Michelle Pfeiffer sort of set the bar for me with Catwoman, which for me, Anne Hathaway has a lot to live up to.
Oh yeah, she was brilliant. She was perfect. Her only problem was, like, I didn't buy the way her body moved.
This is the one thing I have, like, I'm not sure about, only because Nolan's female characters in movies tend to be a little weak to me. I don't know if anyone else notices this, but if you look at all of the characters on all of his movies, the female roles just don't seem to be as developed. Like, look at Rachel in the Batman. I mean, Rachel's all right as a character, and of course now she's dead, so she won't see her again. But hey. I mean, Katie Holmes, like, and then they replaced her with someone a little better, though people didn't altogether agree that she, you know, people going on about whether or not she's more attractive or less attractive, that didn't give a shit. But, like, either way, she was just, you know, a weak female role in the Batman franchise. She was the only real female role, and now she's gone, and they're going to replace her with this person. And I think that Bane is going to overshadow her. And Hathaway will be sort of like the afterthought, sort of like how Dent was sort of like a core to the story of The Dark Knight, but at the same time, he was only Two-Face for a bit of the end.
Well, I was going to mention that is one thing I think. I know some people are a little concerned about, you know, the two villains and whatnot, and I was going to say Catwoman's never really been a true villain. I mean, she's naughty. Selfish, covetous, perhaps, but, you know, not a villain. Like, you know, she's not a real villain. And I think a better way to think about her is, you know, either as an on-screen replacement for, say, Rachel, or a kind of another version of, you know, Scarecrow, someone who isn't
the love interest.
Yeah,
you know, that's what I think too.
Because
she may not need to carry that much.
Yeah, because the whole love interest thing is already well established between Catwoman and Batman, and the love interest between Bruce Wayne and Selina Kyle. I mean, they go hand in hand. And Nolan has a way of altering the stories of villains and heroes to make them believable. So what we know about Catwoman from the comics and from the graphic novels might not necessarily hold true. Certainly didn't hold true back in Batman Returns either, the whole inception of Catwoman. And I totally do not even want to think of the Halle Berry version.
It was terrible.
But
I don't even like Batman, and I can say that was terrible.
But it's interesting. It'll be interesting to see how Catwoman and how her storyline and her past will evolve in Dark Knight Rises. So.
Yeah, and if there's one thing I could say as far as Anne Hathaway being in it is that I definitely trust Christopher Nolan to make good decisions with this stuff, because he hasn't let me down yet with these movies. So, you know, I may not know why he cast Anne Hathaway, but I could damn sure guarantee that he knows why he did, you know?
Indeed. Yeah. All right, quick rundown, final crazy topics, starting off with... Burglars mistake the ashes, the cremated ashes of an old man and two Great Danes as cocaine and snort them.
Yum. But who has
obviously these people have never seen cocaine in their life.
What I want to know is how much of the ashes had they already sniffed before someone was like, dude, I am not high.
Well, this happened in Silver Springs, Florida, in Marion County, and these people had the burglars had already left, and it wasn't until the victim came back to her home she noticed that several items were missing, and included electronics, jewelry, but most troubling, the theft of her father's ashes and the ashes of her two Great Danes. So, investigation later revealed that after these people got busted, that the ashes were actually inhaled.
Strikes me about this is that if you've ever seen somebody do cocaine, first they sniff it, and then they take the extra and rub it all over their teeth and gums.
Nah, that's not necessarily true.
That's how they do it in the movies.
I don't know about that.
Beyond that, isn't the ashes of like a body?
Well, go answer the phone.
Domino's.
Yeah, but isn't it like, you know, the ashes of a person compared to like cocaine? Isn't there a big color difference?
It doesn't really look the same.
Yeah, so they're freaking.
Ashes are gray. Look, I have an ashtray right in front of me, and here, I could not mistake this for cocaine.
Here's what I want to know. Okay, are we certain? Did they say they thought it was cocaine? Was it, you know? Or, I mean, are these like freakazoids who was sniffing ashes? And because, I mean, you know, I grew up on stories of, you know, like child soldiers in Liberia, you know, cutting out the hearts of people they just killed because they thought they were taking their strength. And, you know, they thought it was cocaine?
Here's the quote. During the investigation, detectives learned that the ashes were taken because the suspects mistook the cremains for either cocaine or heroin. It was soon discovered that the suspects snorted some of the ashes, believing that they were snorting cocaine.
Well, wait, I'm not an authority on this by any means, but isn't heroin a darker powder than cocaine? Like, cocaine is just white.
Well, these guys, after snorting them, realized that they had the remains from the dogs and the victim's father, so they got rid of the ashes. Detectives are currently working on trying to locate the remains of these ashes.
Maybe they're already high and they were like, fuck it, man. We're going to do some dead people. You know, you do strange things when you're high, and maybe that's just what they thought.
So the necro snorting.
Well, at least they had some sort of brains because they organized
a
whole burglary.
It's like reverse skull fucking.
They organize a whole burglary operation, I guess. They're not like some people who decide instead of shoveling snow, they're going to blow it up with homemade bombs because they're lazy.
That guy is thinking with his noggin. He's working smarter and not harder.
23-year-old Leo J. Powers has been charged with threats to commit a crime along with obvious possession of incendiary devices. And, this guy tried blowing up snow so he didn't have to shovel.
Hey, that's a great idea. I'd do that, wouldn't you?
No.
Yes. No. Yes, I would.
No.
Oh, come on.
Hey, no, I absolutely would.
This is America. You want to do it right or you want to do it fast?
This is
America. You can solve any problem with a big enough explosion. That's the mindset of America.
That's Michael Bay's theory.
Yeah, awesome.
And last but not least, the ever so famous Taiwanese news agency released another animated video. This time, regarding the Cheeseburger Network, which raised $30 million in funding. However, although they were just reporting on the whole fact that the Cheeseburger Network, you know, has grown and it's got $30 million in funding, they decided to supplement the story with videos of their CEO abusing cats and whipping them, and that the lol cats are in all brutal living conditions at their network, at their headquarters. Yeah.
Maybe they're trying a little too hard now.
Yes.
Did anyone ever actually take them seriously?
Well, they do cover serious stories, but now I guess this time it's a little bit over the top.
Well, I'm not surprised.
But if you want to see animated cats doing crazy things and a crazy Asian guy wearing a cheeseburger hat, wielding a whip and bowing down to a bag full of cash.
Maybe they think that's how it actually goes down over there.
Yes. Cheeseburger hats and cats being whipped.
I guess it's they don't think that people would just submit pictures and they have to whip their cats to perform.
Be cute, kitty.
Who would have thunk it? You have to tell kitties to be cute. They just don't do it on their own.
Maybe it's all just a big metaphor for animal abuse.
Yeah, I just watched that video, and yeah, they... I'm going to give them like two more videos to prove to me that they're not washed out.
I think they might have blown their load already.
Okay. That's a nice expression.
Well, someone's got to use it.
I think we'll end it on that expression, on that lovely note.
Yeah,
good note to end on.
Yes.
Blowing your load.
Yes, this was another episode of the Noisecast. As usual, you can find us at twitter.com/noisecast and on our new website, thenoisecast.com, where you could also find articles posted by the cast members. Tonight's show, we had Agrippa.
Cheers.
Gonzo Ryder.
I made it back finally. Fixed my speaker issue.
Kaiser Maghead.
Glad to be here.
Be sure to visit his website, doodleofboredom.com. And lastly,
Dandy,
our web designer and audio editor, Ron Taraj.
Bye, jerks.
Apparently.
Hey, don't forget to visit his website.
Don't visit my website. I don't want you there. Don't even say what it is. I don't want people going to my website.
Or just be like Ron and visit Vermont, because Vermont's a hot vacation spot.
Vermont is the best. I'm going to move up there. I love Vermont.
Vermont. Well, that's just lame.
You didn't even realize. You didn't even realize.
I do realize. It's lame. Lamest states in the country.
Don't you live
and
in
Ron,
like Minnesota?
He's in Arkansas, and he thinks Vermont
Arkansas.
Is lame. All right, so.
Look, if I think it's lame, it's pretty fucking lame.
Tune in next time, same place, for the Noisecast. The Noisecast.
Gates will open.